It's a little different, though, so just bear with me. I had this plan for this morning, but Abraham took up all the time, so I didn't have time to get into this. But I'm gonna just give you something tonight on faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. I'm just going to read it, follow along. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, bless the message tonight. Help us to, again, see some things on faith that we need to see tonight. Encourage our faith, strengthen our faith, give us wisdom about our faith, Lord. I pray tonight that this would help us, all of us, myself included. And so, Lord, bless and move and just be with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you, I'm going to ask a couple questions tonight. And please just listen to the question. I may ask for you to say something, but just listen very carefully and think before you say anything. All right? Can we do that? Here's a question. Question number one. Can you prove the existence of God? Can you prove the existence of God? That's question number one. Question number two, can you disprove the existence of God? Do you ever think about that? Can you prove the existence of God? If you're asked right now by somebody, and I'm asking you, how can you prove the existence of God? I see no hands. I'll take hands now. Marissa, the flood. Okay, there are scientists that don't believe that the flood was a worldwide flood. We understand it was. Do you know 66% of the scientists that are around today do not believe in the existence of God? 66. To me, that's a huge number, because if you're studying science, you should be able to understand that there is a God. Only about 33% of scientists believe that there is some kind of a force out there that is greater than us. That's not much. You're exactly right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that don't believe in a worldwide flood. They might say there was a local flood, but not a worldwide flood. Does that prove the existence, though, of God? Somebody else. Did you have your hand up? Sonia? Sonia. Okay, the change in your husband when he got saved. Yes. 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 Right. Right. Amen. Does that prove the existence of God? For you, it does. Yes. Jeff? I'm sorry? What's the golden ratio? Okay. I call that the beauty of creation, or the amazing results of creation. But in essence, does that prove the existence of God? Anybody else? Thought? Yes. True. True. That ought to do it. Or tie him to a railroad track, you know. Yeah. Push him out of an airplane without a parachute. Right. That's very true. You're all right, but when it comes to proving the existence of God, you and I as Christians, we know God exists. How do we know that He exists? By faith. By faith. We know God exists by faith. Have you ever seen God? No, you've never seen God. Have you ever seen heaven? Have you ever seen hell? We've never seen that. But we believe it by faith. Everything that we believe is by faith. An atheist has to believe in what he or she believes by faith. They may not acknowledge that or agree with you, but they have to believe by faith. And I believe it takes a greater faith to believe that this all came into existence from nothing. You cannot create something out of nothing unless you're God. That simple. Nothing comes from nothing. Let's take a Boeing 747. Big plane. Very intricate plane, right? Let's take it completely apart. Every single part. Take it apart. And let's put it in a football field. It might fit in a football field. Everything at all. Just take it, dismantle it completely. All of the electronics and everything. Let's stick it in a football field in a pile. How many hurricanes or tornadoes over a long period of time would it take to put that 747 together so it's flyable? You know that's impossible, right? You can't do that. It can't be done. A tornado coming through, let's say once a year for 10 million years, is it going to put that plane together? Every little gadget and every little thing so you could get behind, you could get in a seat, you could start flipping switches and having things come on and have the turbos come on and go down a runway and fly it. You know that that won't happen. Well, our bodies are so intricate. Our bodies are so designed that we have these eyes and ears and hands and feet and a heart and the lungs and the blood and everything working together. How does this just come by chance? We know that that's impossible. But we believe that by faith. It's faith that allows us to believe in what we believe. Samuel Clemens, better known for his pen name as Mark Twain, was a gifted writer. Yet Twain held a very deep contempt for Christianity. He once referred to it as the slaughterhouse religion because of the doctrine of the blood atonement. And he often turned his ridicule on those who believed the Bible. He met and fell in love with Olivia Landon, a young woman from a very good Christian family. While they were courting, he appeared to have downplayed his lack of faith, and she agreed to marry him. After their marriage, Twain began to openly mock Christianity once again, and before too much time passed, Olivia stopped attending church. Twain and his family suffered many great reversals, including a complete financial collapse and the death of a beloved daughter. At one point, Mark Twain, attempting to comfort his grieving wife, said, "Livy, if it comforts you to lean on your faith, do so." You know what her reply was? "I cannot. I don't have any faith left." I don't have any faith left. Why was that? She had just drifted away from the Bible, church, and just drifted away, and her faith collapsed. She didn't have any faith. I believe that happens with people. I'm not saying this woman wasn't saved, because saved people can get to the point where their faith is practically zero. On a meter, let's say of 1 to 100, their faith meter is down to 0 or 1 or 2 or in that little tiny area. It's because they're not in the Bible. They never come to church. They have turned their back on Christianity. They've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on other Christian believers, people that have tried to encourage them over the years. And so it can happen. I believe that it can happen. And I believe that it can happen with saved, born-again people. Faith can dwindle. The apostles... I don't know how many times, I think it's mentioned maybe once or twice in the Gospels, I forget exactly, but they asked the Lord to increase their faith. And they did that because they needed their faith increased. You and I need our faith increased. Don't rest upon your faith the way it is right now. Right now. Your faith may be great, but can it get a little bit greater? Can it get a little bit stronger? Can your faith become more energized in your own personal walk with God? I believe it can. I don't think that any Christian in this room or any Christian in America has gotten to the point where they've reached from the meter 1 to 100 or 0 to 100, they've got to the 100 mark yet in their faith. Many of us could use some faith exercises. Many of us can use some faith building. And that's what we as Christians, we preachers, we're trying to do that. We're trying to build up your faith. We want your faith built up. I want my faith built up. I need my faith built up. Here in Hebrews, we're only going to look at the first six verses tonight. I have four things that I want to give you based upon these verses. It says, now faith is the substance. What does the word substance mean here? It means reality. Substance is a reality. Listen, this pulpit is substance, right? You're sitting in a chair with substance. You're going to get in a vehicle tonight and go home with substance. The building has substance. The trees out there have substance. The ground has substance. Everything that we see has substance. It's real. These chairs are not, you know, I mean, some people might think, oh, no, they're not real. I just imagine them. Well, maybe there's some people far away out there that might think that way. But these chairs are real chairs. This is a real pulpit. These are real lights. This is a real building. This, you and I are substance. We're made up of, you know, flesh and bone and blood and, right? I mean, we're substance. So it says faith is the substance. That's the reality of things hoped for. The evidence. What's evidence? It's proof. It's proof. Evidence is proof. If you've ever had to go to a court of law for something, courts are famous for gathering evidence. Police departments, when they do an investigation, they'll gather evidence against somebody or for some whatever, however they do that, but they will gather evidence. If you're arrested for something, they're going to gather evidence against you. And the prosecutor is going to take that evidence as it comes to him or her, and they're going to prosecute you to the fullest of the law, hopefully. Of course, nowadays, you can do anything wrong you want and just walk out of the jail the same day, and you can go out and perform the same crime. I won't get into that. That bothers me. That bothers me. But that's what we see. Faith is a substance. That's reality of things hoped for, the evidence, proof of things not seen. What substance can we think of tonight, and what evidence do we have of God? You're holding it in your hand. You have it on your lap. It's called the Word of God. Right here. This is the greatest substance, evidence for God. Right here. Do you realize that? This is it, right here. There's not a greater substance, there's not a greater evidence out there. I mean, we could say, yes, the creation, stars, and yes, we could talk about all of those different things, but we learn about those things from the Bible. This is the substance or reality of things hoped for. This is the evidence of things not seen. I can't see God, but when I read this book, I understand there is a God. I've never seen Jesus Christ, but when I read the Bible, I understand there's a Jesus. There's a pre-incarnate Christ. There's an Old Testament Jehovah God who's Jesus Christ. There's a New Testament Jesus Christ. He's the same one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so my faith has taught me to believe in the Bible. Why do you think Satan is attacking this book all the time? Why is he trying to eliminate verses and words and phrases and chapters? And why is he trying to do that? Why is he trying to rewrite the Bible? Over 100 different versions that are out there today. I don't know how many there are. I've lost count. There's a lot of them out there. But he's trying to put doubt on the Word of God because he knows this is where faith comes from. That's what verse 1 of Hebrews 11 says. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I believe that verse is dealing with the Word of God. Talking about the Bible. In verses 1 through 3, I'll give you the first point. We have the faith in Scriptures. The faith in the Scriptures. The Word of God is the substance and evidence for faith. Romans 10:17, you know the verse, but if you don't know it, let's turn over there and we'll look at it. Romans 10:17. The Bible makes it clear where faith comes from. It says here in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Word of God is that substance and the evidence for faith. When you read the Bible, you gain more faith. It's that simple. It's not a difficult thing to understand. Why do you think the devil tries to keep you from this Bible? Why do you think the devil tries to keep you from prayer? Prayer helps your faith also. When you're praying and reading God's Word, it builds your faith up. Satan will do everything he can to keep you from reading the Bible. He'd much rather have you sit in front of a television all day long or all night long and just watch something on TV and be mindless instead of reading the Word of God. I'm not saying TV is completely wrong, but have you read your Bible yet? Or do you turn the TV on first thing in the morning and that's all that's on all day long and that's what you listen to all day long? Get in the Bible. Get in the Word of God. This is where our faith is. Faith is in the Scriptures. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is where you and I can have our faith built up. It's not complicated. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 18. James 1:18. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How important is the Bible? People are saved by this book. Lives are changed by this book. Yes, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells you immediately, instantaneously. Right? You believe that? I do. But your growth comes not just from the Holy Spirit. Your growth comes from the Bible. Your growth comes from reading the Bible, spending time in the Bible. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's the Word of God that is that substance. It's that evidence for faith. It's what it grows us. We know that the Bible, in verse 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. We grow as Christians, which let me say this, we grow in our faith as Christians when we spend time in the Bible. I know I harp on this a lot in this church. I talk about it a lot. I preach about it. I'm buying catalogs, calendars back there with Bible reading in it to try to get people in their Bibles. Paul was a blessing to me this morning when he told me that he's reading the Bible and things are starting to come to, you know, that thrills my soul when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm reading the Bible calendar program, or I'm keeping up with it, or hey, I'm trying to catch up with it, or I'm reading it. That to me is a blessing that some people care enough to read their Bible and they're getting something out of it. That's just going to build his faith. That's going to build your faith and my faith. It's when you think you've had enough Bible reading and you don't do it anymore, it's when your faith will cease and it'll drop off. And it won't be long before you'll be in trouble as a Christian. Guaranteed. What gets us through the dark times of life? 1 Peter 1:7. So many times people will say, hey, when I'm going through trials and tribulations, I go over to the book of Psalms. Psalms has a comforting effect on people. It did with David. David wrote them. Didn't write them all. He wrote a bunch of them. And it had that comforting ability to be able to encourage and to comfort those that wrote it. But not only that, but you and I that read it today. Sometimes when people are going through death of a loved one or severe trials, they'll go over to a passage of Scripture. Maybe somebody will give them a passage to go and read. And many times it's in the book of Psalms. Many times I've given people, go, hey, you got some worries in your life? Go over and read Psalm 37. Just spend time in Psalm 37, where it says, fret not, fret not, fret not, fret not, fret not. After you read that, you shouldn't be fretting. Amen? It says, don't fret. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, it says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, we are going to go through trials and tribulations. There's no getting around it. There's no getting away from it. There's no exemption here. You can't have a religious exemption for trials and tribulations. That would be nice. Get saved and no more troubles, right? No, that's not going to work. Your faith would not be built up during that time when you didn't have any problems going on in your life at all. Trials are for, or testings are for, to build our faith. It says in that verse that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, the trials that you and I go through are more precious than all the money that somebody could give you. You might be going through a financial difficulty. And yes, maybe you need some extra help when it comes to financial a hardship that you're going through. But that test, that trial that you're going through will build on your faith. If somebody comes through and helps you out, doesn't that help your faith? You prayed about it. You asked God to help. You asked God to supply a need. And all of a sudden somebody comes along and helps you with that need. That is designed to build your faith. God had that all designed for you and for me. The Word of God brings the evidence that we need today. A little while ago I asked you, is there any evidence that there is a God? You and I know there's plenty of evidences for God. We heard some tonight. The Bible talks about you go out and you look up at the stars and look at the constellations at night. That's the finger of God. He put all those stars together and those constellations together, and they've been there since He put them up there in the first chapter of Genesis. We look at our bodies and the way that they're designed, and we see there's evidence of God. Has to be. Again, you just can't take a heart and all of a sudden pop out of the mud somewhere and some blood popping out of this mud hole over here, and they somehow get together, and you've got a heart beating with blood, and that doesn't work. This body was put together by a Creator. It was designed for us by God Almighty. You know that, and I know that. We see evidences of a real and personal God. We see it through creation. We see it through beauty. We are living in a cursed world, and yet we still live in a beautiful world. I'll tell you, spring is right around the corner, and I always, when I'm going through winter, I'm looking for spring. I'm looking for flowers again. Leaves coming back on the trees again. The bugs and the bees coming back again. Snakes, they can stay away. I don't care about them. But we look forward to the beauty of the flowers. I mean, when I see all these different colored flowers out there, that amazes me. You say, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me. When I go over to Sauter's or I go by one of these places that sell all these, and I see all the different colors, I always say, how does that get to all of those different colors? How is there yellows and purples and oranges and blues? And I mean, do they do that, or is that the way they're created? That's the way they're created. It's amazing. You look at a blue jay, you look at a cardinal, you look at a hummingbird, you look at anything out there in creation, you have to say there's design there. How come you and I can't fly with our arms? We're not designed to fly. I always thought about that. If I could be an ant, I'd like to be a bird. I would like to be a bird. That would be neat to be a bird. It just would be neat to fly up and look down on everybody and whatever. I think a bird is really neat. Not a chicken. Chickens are not neat. Chickens are weird. But being a bird, it's an amazing creation by God. All of the creation of God. There is historical evidence that God is real. Everything historical in the Bible. Every archaeological dig proves the Bible is true. Every single one. There's never been anything that disproved the Bible. Did you know that? The Bible was written thousands of years ago. I mean, it's from the beginning. We have 6,000 years of history. And everything that's recorded in there, every time they go out there and they start excavating, digging, archaeological things, they discover what the Bible says is true. They discover kings and leaders that through some archaeological dig, they really did exist. It's amazing. Historical evidence. We have the scientific evidence that there is the existence for God. And as we heard already tonight, through our own personal salvation and change of life, not only in us, but in our loved ones and other people that we maybe have led to the Lord. That's evidence for God. But we need to have faith in the Scripture. Secondly, we look at verse 4 of our text, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. We also have faith in the sacrifice. Faith in the Scriptures, number one. Number two, faith in the sacrifice. The difference between Cain and Abel. We all know that. I don't have time to get into that tonight. But Cain didn't bring God a blood sacrifice. He ends up killing his own brother over that particular whole thing, I believe. Abel brings the blood sacrifice we see in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. And we read about Cain and Abel in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis. But we see that the Bible says here that Cain offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, what was that sacrifice? It was a blood sacrifice. A blood sacrifice. I know that Mark Twain said that we're the slaughterhouse religion because we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe, we sing about the hymns, about the blood of Christ. Those songs, those hymns that we sing about the blood of Christ are important. I know that there's a lot of churches today that have removed all references to the blood. I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard that the Methodist Church not long ago has rechanged their hymn books and made sure that there was no blood songs in their hymn books whatsoever. Because they don't want to be considered a bloody church. We're not a bloody church, but we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without it, there's no remission of sins. There's no salvation. You can sit around at your church and have a little coffee and a little donut and talk about nice little things and get encouraged by the preacher, and he can get up and she preachers that can get up and preach a nice little sermonette and send everybody home. That's not going to get you into heaven. Might make you feel good for the rest of the day, but it'll do nothing for your eternity. Nothing. There's faith in the sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice pointed to a Savior. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to a Savior. It was pointing to the cross. It was going ahead to the cross. Every single one of them. Every single one. There's faith in the sacrifice. Verse 5, number 3. Look at verse 5 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's faith in the second coming of Christ. Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. Just like Elijah, when he was taken up, is a picture or at least a thought of the rapture of the church. So there's faith in the second coming. I have faith that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Why is that? He told me he's coming. John chapter 14. Jesus actually said he's coming back. John 14, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, ye may be also. Is that a promise of him coming back? Absolutely. I believe in the second coming because Jesus said he's coming back. Do we know when he's coming back? I know when he's coming back. Coming back soon. He's coming back soon. I know when he's coming back. He's coming back soon. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't have the date. I don't have the year. I've got people telling me exactly when they think the Lord's coming back. And he's probably not coming back when they say he's coming back. But I just know he's coming back. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Do you have faith that Jesus is coming back? Does it take faith to believe he's coming back? Yeah, yes. Yes, it takes faith to believe that he's coming back. Everything we do takes faith. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus Christ is coming back. I love 1 Thessalonians 4. I wasn't going to read it tonight, but I'm going to read it because I love 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Don't you love 1 Thessalonians 4? 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I like the way Paul words this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He uses the word ignorant quite often. Did you ever notice that? I forget how many times it was. But he's used ignorant several times in his writings. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, that means to go before or precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Probably about every funeral I've ever done, I probably have read that passage of Scripture. It does give comfort to know that you'll see your mother and father again. You'll see your parents again. I'll see my parents again. You'll see your loved ones that have gone on before. It's because Jesus promised that. And I serve a Lord that cannot go back on his promise or his promises. We have faith in the second coming. Back to our text there in Hebrews chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews brought this up in verse 5. And it's by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's a picture. That's a type of the rapture. That's a type of the second coming of Christ. It was not found because God translated him for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so we have the faith in the Scriptures. We have faith in the sacrifice. We have faith in the second coming. And finally, in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There has to be faith to satisfy God. But without faith, listen, look at those words. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can't please God unless you have faith. You can do all of the Christian works that you can come up with. You can be here cleaning the church every day. But if you don't have any faith, you're not pleasing God at all. The only one you're pleasing is might be the preacher, a few people at the church. You can come here with your little shovel and shovel the whole parking lot tomorrow, but without any faith, you're not pleasing God. You're just making me happy, because I don't have to go out and do it. We need to have faith to satisfy and please God. So as your faith grows, as your faith gets stronger, and as it gets more mature, you're actually pleasing God with that faith of yours. And don't you want to please God? Do you want to go through life not pleasing God? How many Christians today are walking around on planet Earth, but they're not pleasing God? They're living a life, and they may be doing things good. They might be striving to do the right things in life. But their faith is so small that all of the things that they're doing is not pleasing God at all. The Bible tells me and tells us here, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We need to think about our pleasing the Lord. And the only way that I can see that we can really please God is through our faith. Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's Romans 8:8. You're living in the faith, you're not pleasing God because you don't have any faith when you're living in the flesh. How often do we live in the flesh? Come on. Absolutely. Numbers 14:11. Take a look at that. Numbers 14:11. Numbers 14, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere, that word E-R-E means before, they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them. Everything that God did, He's saying to Moses, how long are these people going to do this to me? They just ignored all of the works that God did. Tell me this, where was their faith? How much faith did they have when they saw work, miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still, what did they do? They murmured and complained. When we murmur and complain, and I'm speaking to me too, we're not exercising our faith. And we're certainly not pleasing God. Is God like a grumbler? No. Is God like a complainer? No. When you complain and murmur, when I complain and murmur, I am not exercising faith when I do that. John 3:18. John 3:18 and 19 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Bible, I just brought a message on this not long ago, but the Bible tells us, I think it was last week, we are to believe on Jesus Christ. You know what faith is? Faith is believing. That's what faith is. It's belief. It's believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ. You need to have faith in order to be saved, because you have to believe upon Him. And that takes faith to do that. John 8:24. John 8:24. John 8:24 says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. It's a simple thing called belief, which equates to faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. One more verse and we're done for tonight. Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and, say it, unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The unbelieving? Who are the unbelieving? It's those that have no faith. No faith in God. No faith in Jesus Christ. They're unbelievers. They don't believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Word of God. They don't believe in the power and the miracles of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that He was God. They don't believe He died on a cross for their sins. And so they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. How sad that is. You see how important faith is, really? You can't be saved without it. Right? Can you be saved without faith? No. No, you have to have faith to be saved. You don't have to know all the doctrines of the Bible to be saved. You don't have to know you don't have to memorize all of the books of the Bible, all 66 of them, and have them in order before you get saved. You don't have to know and understand all of that stuff. I still don't completely understand salvation, but I believe it. I always like what Vance Havner said. I love this little phrase. He says, I don't believe everything. Or he says, I don't understand everything. It says, he doesn't understand electricity, but it's not going to stop him from going over and flipping on a light switch. I don't understand how all of that works, but I'm certainly thankful that we have it. I don't understand everything about salvation. I believe it by faith. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, shed His blood for me, and died for me, and rose again after 3 days and three nights. That saves your soul when you call upon Christ. You have to have faith in order to be saved. You have to have faith, Christian, to live for Christ. You think you only need it for salvation? You're wrong. That's how you get saved, yes. But how are you going to live a Christian life without faith? How are you going to serve the Lord without any faith? You can't. And last question, how can you please God without faith? You won't. Father, again, thank You for the message on faith. Thank You, Lord, for Hebrews chapter 11 and so many examples that we see in the Word of God about faith. Lord, again, I pray we may be strong in our faith tonight, but Lord, I pray when tomorrow comes, Monday and Tuesday and throughout this week, I pray, Lord, that our faith would continue to grow through the week. Lord, I pray that. I pray that every one of us here, everybody that's listening, maybe online tonight, and those of us that are here, please increase our faith. Please help us with our faith. Lord, we need our faith built upon. So, Lord, please do that. Please help us with that. If there's somebody that's not saved, please convict their hearts tonight of their need to be saved. They need to trust You by faith. But, Lord, we need to trust You and live by faith as Christians. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. Rich, you got